urban delivery. Beeline supports businesses with access to zero-emission delivery, warehousing, and advertising services. More at b-linepdx.com.
Support for X-Ray FM comes from Alberta Abbey. The Alberta Abbey is a nonprofit venue nurturing the arts in Northeast Portland by amplifying opportunities for Black and underrepresented communities. They provide studio, gallery, and performance spaces to local artists and art organizations and showcase diverse programming for local groups of all ages. More information, event calendar, and tickets available at albertaabbey.org.
Hi, this is Peter Case, and you're listening to X-Ray FM.
You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And on the coast in Nehalem, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online and on demand at xray.fm.
Every Tuesday at 2 p.m., join me, DJ Barbarella, in studio live with a local artist, musician, or event organizer. Hear what's new and upcoming in the local scene, with new music releases and debuts. Plus, hear a special curated playlist each week from every guest. All on X-Ray, where radio is yours.
Hello, 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 X-Ray listeners. You are tuned into Flying Saucer Safari here on X-Ray FM, and I am here with some very special guests for a third show that they are on here. I'm here with Golden Pink. Welcome in.
Hello. That's us. Thank you for having us.
I am so stoked to have y'all on again.
Yeah. Third time's a charm.
Yeah. You guys are always a pleasure to have on here. Y'all always bring on amazing music.
Thank you.
You make amazing music.
Wow.
And y'all have new music that you're here to share.
We do have new music.
Yeah, we just released a single on Saturday, the last day of our first ever tour. We released a new single called Good Morning.
And I noticed that the G and the M are in parentheses, and I know that y'all love so much, like, I feel like this inner messaging and collaging and wordplay so much. So I know that has a lot of significance. So let's talk about that.
So the parentheticals, it's been interesting because it's made it a lot harder for people to look up, because you can't just look up Good Morning. You have to add the parentheticals. Yeah. So it's better just to look us up, Golem Pink. But the G and the M being in parentheses, the whole song is about like Bitcoin tech bro NFT culture, and sort of a takedown, if you could say, of all of that kind of stuff. It's the closest we've ever done to a diss track. I don't know if it really counts as
I love this.
I watched a whole long, I'm a big fan of like 3-hour video essays, and there was a really long video essay about that kind of culture, and the kind of borderline cult mentality that they can have. And there's this kind of shibboleth of, like, they would go onto their servers, their Discord servers or wherever they would hang out, and they all type GM for good morning to, like, to say that they're there on the thing, and then everybody else in the chat says it back to them. So everybody is like, they'll type GM, and then a bunch of other people will type GM. And so this, even though it's sort of this innocuous, just like saying good morning to one another, it's wrapped up in all of this other more toxic stuff.
Oh yeah, it's like checking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to draw attention to it. Even though if I was being super accurate, I would have to keep them lowercase, because they don't uppercase their G and their M, but
yeah, whatever. I've noticed that that's a new trend happening with lowercase, like, culture. Is that, I feel like that's like trying to exude sort of what, like, casualness in
a
sense,
it seems,
right?
That way to me, like trying to appear casual, also like capitalization is viewed as like somewhat aggressive. And then like capitalizing individual letters and words would be like overly formal.
Yeah, I feel like I've been told I've been too aggressive for punctuating my text messages. So I think I'm officially an old person.
I was just going to say that. I was like, dang, that's just being a, a certain age.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so excited to hear this new track. But before we get to that, y'all just kind of came back from a big tour and all of that. So let's talk about that a little bit. What was some of the highlights and places that y'all went? And I saw too that just y'all recently played at the end of the month a Friends of Noise show as well. Was that like the kind of end of
the culmination of it?
Awesome. Cool.
It was just a regional thing through Washington. It was my first tour of my whole life. I've been a professional level musician for I think close to a decade at this point, depending on where you mark it, but I've never been on a tour before, and that was the first time getting out and about and really battle testing our kind of strange setup. And because we use all these samples and drum machines and synths and multiple vocals and a saxophone, it's a lot of things, and we're now like leaving our comfort zone and going to places that like don't know who we are, mm-hmm. and we don't know who they are, and we've never been to this random bar in Seattle before. Hope that they can handle our stuff. And so I think the real highlight was getting through all of the shows with pretty much no like, well, I guess that just doesn't work today kind of moments of like, we didn't have to, nothing had to go over the side of the balloon basket to keep us afloat.
Yeah,
which
great.
I'm really proud of. I think that's mostly Joy and our other table twin, Helen's doing. Do you want to talk about your efforts?
I mean, we have turned our thing into like a fully, we run all our own sound. We route all our stuff through our audio interface and Helen's laptop. And so we have a lot of control over our own sound, which I think is really necessary in a band like ours with so many moving parts. And then just like moving into each space, we were able to say like, oh, we're going to set this up before it's time for us to like go up on stage. Like, we're actually going to take some time to fully set everything up. And then I would always say like, oh, we're tucking it into bed, because we would pull the like tablecloth up over it and then just carry around this table of wild amounts of gear. And every time we set it up, like each time it got faster and faster, but not in like a we're speeding through this kind of way, in like a oh, we're putting this together slowly and suddenly it's done, and did we forget
efficient.
Something like it was so easy and fast.
Yeah, deliberate, and like letting the muscle memory take over. But then coming to talking about the Friends of Noise thing, is saying my neighborhood doxing myself? I live really close to where the new Friends of Noise venue is going to be.
Yeah, awesome.
And so I've been kind of, someone who's also a music teacher and a very much like a community forward kind of person, I've been, it would be a dream job to work for them. Mm-hmm. And so I've been, that venue is coming in close to my house. It's not quite finished yet, but it's coming in there, and I love their organization. And so I've been trying to make something happen with them, and it felt like such a cool moment to be able to work with them and be able to have moments where like, because the way that organization works is that like it's all ages shows for all ages people, made by all ages people. So like you come in there and it's a group of teenagers who are running sound and running the door, and we were encouraged to bring on a band that was a group of teens, and as a teacher that is in their 30s, there was an impulse of mine to be like, well, let me help you figure this out. I'm a resource. Let me be an authority figure. But they were fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really big lesson for me to be like, I am not as cool as I think I am. There's plenty of, like...
Kids are capable.
Yeah, they got it. They're
well
trained.
And you give them the responsibility, and kids will step up to that.
Totally.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they...
Trust kids to do
they
things.
They did a great job.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. I feel like I've definitely run... Or definitely done shows where the sound was significantly worse.
Yeah, we sounded great.
We sounded great. Like, that space was, like, a really tough space to mix in. And everybody did a fantastic job. So
I think their names were Zoe and Fable, I want to say.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds right.
What enchanting names.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that y'all were met with amazing reception and, like, kind of, like, work through those challenges of figuring out your challenging sound setup.
Yeah.
And kind of speaking of that, talk to me about then, because y'all are, like, really DIY with your recording as well, too. So this new single also, I'm sure y'all so recorded yourselves. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, we recorded the majority of it while the entire band was sick with the same cold.
Oh, no.
So
you have the same, like, nasal tone, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. If you listen to my raw vocals, they sound absolutely wild.
Yeah.
But it was really fun to get, this is the first song that has fully our new lineup with Helen and Adrian Leva on deck. And it was really fun to make and wail into the microphones. And then I do all of our mixing. And this is the first time that I've also mastered one of our songs. So leveling up every day.
It's the first one that's bottom up, all of us. Like, we've gone to the outside for mastering before. We've worked with people who, like, we've sort of featured people in the past and worked with people on, like, a one-off basis, or we've had past lineups that have changed. And so it's really cool to have this moment of, like, everybody is on this song. There isn't, like, no one's, like, as shoehorned in as people may have been in the past, where it's like, oh, let's try to get you in, even though, like, we're 90% of the way there. It's like, you're a big part of this, and we want to even do that more so going into the stuff that we're gonna start writing. I think our first songwriting session is next week, so more stuff is gonna be on the way.
That's super exciting. So you said songwriting session. So it sounds like y'all are, I mean, you already commented on that, this, like, collaborative process. But talk to me more about that. Like, how do these sort of sessions, like, start and go? Is that just playing around with instruments and song? Or are you just, like, throwing out lyrics and ideas?
A little bit of everything. We're figuring it out as we go. I think this will be our second songwriting session. And our first one, I think we started to kind of clarify our process a little bit. For example, I think that recording directly into Ableton as we go, even as we're just, like, creating scratch mixes and, like, basic ideas, it will help our workflow a lot.
Yeah.
Because we all play, like, such different instruments and have such different ideas that, like, getting everything down into a cohesive place is just a nice process.
Yeah, so for the first one that we did, I had already written a lot of the songs in the past. It'll be, like, me and an acoustic guitar, like, real singer-songwriter stuff to start with, and then we just, like, break it into tiny bits and make it into what they become, the real collage mess that they turn into. Mm-hmm. But what we did for this, the song that we're currently working on, I wrote the song, and I could have performed it, like, I think I performed it right at the very end in terms of, like, how I written it, but what I sent the band was a version of the song that was just, like, the chord progression on, like, the most boring synth organ as spot, like, the most, like, this is just for background, like, this is not part of the song, this is almost just, like, telling you what the chords are, and my voice, and that is it. I think I might have sent one more that had a little kick drum so people could know what I thought the tempo of the song was, but it was, like, super, super bare bones, because I really wanted everybody to bring their own, like, imagination to fill the rest of the song out, as opposed to in the past, because I've written more of the arrangements in the past, it's been more like, well, this is 50%, 75% done. How can I take what's already here and turn it into that 100%, which I always really appreciate, but I really wanted people to be able to have space to fill up more. So it's like, here's like 5% of a song. It's got lyrics, it's got a form, it's got chords, and then from there, what do you imagine into the song? What do you imagine filling all of this empty space?
So are you giving these tracks to folks beforehand, or you're playing it in this session, or people kind of like get it beforehand and then you get to come in with your ideas?
Both, I think, is the best way to put it. I think it's a matter of like, I think I sent it beforehand for this first one, and I think a lot of folks you may have heard it like a little bit ago or like a couple weeks ago. So it was a matter of like, some people listened to it beforehand. I don't know if everybody listened to it beforehand, but then we all listened to it, I think, again. Mm-hmm. We all got settled and then listened to it again in that moment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it was basically both.
Awesome. I love hearing about people's writing styles, and it's always so different and new. And I love that you're taking this approach with your band now, then you're opening it up that like it's this big collaborative project. Because I feel like that really fits like the music that you make as well. That is this like... extremely collaged work. It makes sense that it would be these several voices coming in.
Yeah. We try. It's scary for me because I've collaborated in the past with folks that it didn't work out with, and so I'm still like nervous about all of that. So like, I think the idea of that gamified element of like, what do you hear in the song? Yeah. Like, starting from that point felt a little more fun and maybe even a little bit more safe for me of like, cool, it's more of a game than it is like, tell me what you think my song is good enough to finish.
Yeah. No, I love the gamification. Sounds like a great, fun way of completing a song that no one feels pressure to, that they also don't feel like, I'm sure, like it's critiquing, that they're like, ooh, what can we add? We're playing. Yeah.
Everybody jumped right in. I think all three of the other band members had like explicit ideas. Joy had an unfair advantage because Joy had heard me like write the song because we lived together. So Joy knew in air quotes what the song was supposed to sound like. Mm-hmm. But everyone like immediately was like, oh, I'm hearing this. Oh, I would love it if this happened. So it was really cool. Really, really validating.
I love that. Well, I feel like now is maybe a good time to hear that new track then. Good morning.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
It's a big one.
It's okay. All right. I'm excited. All right, X-Ray listeners, this is Good Morning from Golem Pink.
It's a good morning. A good morning.
Well, welcome back, X-Ray listeners. If you're just catching us now, I'm here with some very special in-house guests. I'm here with Golem Pink.
That's us. That's us. We're Golem Pink.
Yeah. We're half of Golem Pink.
Half of Golem Pink.
Half of Golem
and,
Pink.
And y'all just mentioned earlier that you have some new members. So that last song that y'all heard on the air, that was a new Golem Pink song. That was Good Morning. Why don't y'all give a little shout out to all of the members? Like, introduce yourself for folks that don't know who you are, and all of the rest of the bandmates that are not in-house.
My name's Amet, just M. I play guitar and I sing.
I'm Bex Joy. I play the synth and I also sing. And then additionally in our band, we've got Adrian Leva on the super killer saxophone and Helen Spencer Wallace also singing and doing some of those additional soundscape elements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And doing like a lot of our effects and sound design stuff. Cool. Joy also does the production.
Yeah, I do the production and mastering. And mastering.
Mm-hmm. Everything's in-house, artisanal.
DIY.
We love a DIY.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, as you were saying earlier, when you're doing your own sound and all that helps you really control, you know, your sound. And I'm sure especially with doing your own mastering, all of that, like, you really just get to control what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think there's definite like pros and cons to it. I think ultimately it would be super cool if we could afford high quality mixing, mastering, production assistance, and marketing especially. But at the level we're currently at, being able to have the skills to do those things in-house is such a boon. And really allows us to work well with the equipment and stuff that we have and really like make it sound good. I've really impressed myself.
Yeah, this band does not exist without Joy's skills. I know how to make things sound interesting and strange. I don't know how to make things sound good. So it's
the perfect yin and yang.
Yeah
it's really, very much a push pull sometimes.
And it's been exciting to bring these extra folks on board to have like that extra every skill set that they have. Where like Adrian, our saxophonist, also works with in a leadership capacity with the Ethos Music School Center, maybe. And so they have a lot of like administrative skills that I don't really have, of like how to make an email sound professional and kind of putting forms together. And they were a huge help in organizing the tour. And then Helen is also a teacher at PCC. Had an instructor role at PCC.
Still does?
Okay.
Yeah.
Where she teaches electronic music and music composition
stuff.
Y'all
are a band full of teachers.
Yeah. Yes. We're a teacher band.
Teacher bands.
Yeah.
Which I find is like pretty common, honestly, around Portland of, and it makes sense, I feel like, when you're, you know, a passionate person who cares about, you know, passing on that knowledge and joy and...
And it's the best way to make a living while still sort of technically doing the same thing of like, I make my whole living from teaching and from this, from making music. So it feels cool to be able to be like, I'm a musician for a living.
Yep.
And I think also working out of a music studio for myself allows a lot of the flexibility, because there is an understanding that one of the reasons they hired me is that I'm one of my bona fides is that I'm a professional gigging musician.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of like logistical flexibility that there might not be in other jobs. We are almost all our teachers. Joy is the only one who's not technically a teacher, but you have been teacherly in the past.
Yeah,
you teach yourself.
I really love teaching and learning as just kind of a lifelong thing, but not in a official capacity.
Yeah. So if folks want to follow along with y'all and support what you do, where can they find more about you?
The best place for my ego is for you to go to Instagram and follow us on Instagram.
Give them a follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Golem Pink, G-O-L-E-M-P-I-N-K. Our name is weird enough that it's just that.
Yeah.
Golem Pink. Thank you. But I really actually have been getting, we've been doing this thing recently where, because like, asking people to follow us on Instagram, it makes a significant difference in terms of like the gigs we can get and the work we can do. And it also helps you keep up with what we're doing. But what I've been really enjoying is if you go to our website, golempink.com, you can join our newsletter. And then I will write you an email once a month sometimes when I remember to do it. That literally comes straight from me at my desk. And I, even though it's a little bit more old school at this point and a little bit, maybe a little bit more kitschy, but like,
it's super
that's
cute.
That's so authentic.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Like, what a better way to connect with art makers that you love than getting a newsletter? I feel like that's the most direct.
Yeah. Plus, you'll get, like, some cool behind-the-scenes fun facts about our process, some ideas for other shows that are going around Portland, and some cute jokes and photos.
Yeah.
I love it.
It all comes from me.
And y'all have any merch or anything right now, folks? Can
not like online. You have to come find us.
You gotta come to the show, but we make all our own merch.
It's exclusive, y'all. You heard it. You gotta come to the shows to get the stuff.
Joy actually makes all of our merch in house.
Yeah, super fun.
More in house stuff. More DIY stuff. We, you can take it after this point, but we go to the Goodwill bins and we get a bunch of blank. Dark natural fiber, thick natural fiber clothes of whatever we find, and then Joy bleach dyes them all.
I love bleach dye stuff.
Yeah, it's super fun to do. Just have a bunch of stencils, the little golem, and some little quotes. Like, there's a design I do that just says, "I'm alive, I am alive," all over it, which is so cool. And then one of my favorites just says, "I just want to know my neighbor's names."
Yeah.
Which just feels like a nice message to carry around and show to people. So,
a community band.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, what we need more than ever right now, right? Is community, connecting with people.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like this might actually lead into the next song of ours that we have on, the next of our songs that's on the playlist there. It's funny because we are like a community band and we write a lot of songs about being in community and trying to live with people as difficult as that as that may be sometimes, and yearning for more of it, yearning for more of that connectivity, and yearning for less of a, like, our whole first album was trying to get away from this draining feeling that we feel when wanting more community. And but like, I personally have a hard time like leaving the house. Like, I am a big, especially at this point in my life, like a big homebody, a big like, well, I know where everything is in here, and nothing in here costs $40. and so I can like, just if I just don't move, everything is fine. So I think there is a bit of an irony at the core of the band from me specifically. I don't know if that's for everybody in the band, but it's a yearning for community from someone who doesn't like going outside.
Well, I think that kind of, what's the word? When you have two things that seem opposing.
Mm-hmm. Cognitive dissonance.
That kind of like dialectic, I guess, is at the core of a lot of our like band descriptions, where like I often will say like, oh, we are overwhelming music for the easily overstimulated, or like really angry music for soft people who are conflict avoidant. like, it really captures a lot of things that seem opposed but ultimately are extremely interconnected.
Yeah, it's clashy music for the not clashy. You're better at that part than me.
For the, like I said earlier, those with two wolves, I guess, right?
Yes. Yes. It's for those who feed both wolves.
Those conflicting wolves, feed them both.
Yeah.
So as we were talking in the break while that song was playing, y'all just kind of came off this awesome big first tour and played this Friends of Noise show. So you're taking a little break to your next show, but it's not that far off. So when is that? When can people see you next?
Yeah, we'll be playing Saturday, November 1st at the Hawthorne Hideaway with us and our friends Doombia and some new friends, Teresa Sweetheart and Violet Flame. It's going to be sort of... The theming of the show is yet to come together, but they're all like bands that are a little bit outside of the norm or projects that are a little bit outside of the norm. And it's right next to Halloween and Dia de los Muertos. And so like, it's going to be kind of like a things that go bump in the night kind of show. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Y'all going to dress up?
Well, we already kind of do.
Yeah,
we have a new outfit now. Yeah, there was always a constant debate as to what we should wear at shows in terms of like a band aesthetic. Mm-hmm. All of us are very much like a band should have an aesthetic. You can be a band that wears t-shirts and jeans. That is totally fine. It's just not our vibe.
Yeah.
But it was always like a question mark of like, well, we should wear pink, I guess. Mm-hmm. But not everybody like had a pink thing in their closet that they felt fun wearing all the time. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to transfer over, and now we all wear sort of Devo style matching jumpsuits, these white jumpsuits that are splattered all over with pink paint. And we all wear them, and we wear them every show, and they got really gross over tour.
So stinky.
Yeah. So much sweat, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But then you have that just, you know, that one outfit that gets that...
And that's zero question. I wear the exact same thing every time I play a show. Don't have to think about it. I love taking something off my plate.
Yeah. And then if you want to spruce them up, you could dye them in a cool leather, like, pink sort of way. Do printing on them and stuff.
That's Joy's department.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now I'm in the process of slowly removing more and more fabric from mine. It went from pants to shorts. Now it went from, like, short sleeve to the elbows to, like, fully cropped.
Yeah.
You gotta watch that sometimes. During a summer when I, like, first moved here, I really accidentally did that. I, like, cut all of my pants and things, like, into shorts and muscle shorts. And then winter came around, and I was like, "Oh man, I have no clothes."
Yeah. I feel like with these jumpsuits, though, we could potentially wear like something underneath them really easily.
Yeah, for sure.
But it's
something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, over the course of especially the tour, we like all of us were just like slicing and dicing because it was like so hot in those jumpsuits.
Oh my gosh, the summer. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And all the lights and moving around.
Yeah, especially like a couple of like we played a house show in somebody's garage, which was a really cool space. But boy, howdy, it was
like,
hot in there,
packed with people, just all sweating together.
Yeah, it was a lot, but we made it through. Everyone survived. We just drank lots of water.
Yep,
I love that. Sorry, you had mentioned earlier that. What you were saying earlier was going to lead into this next song, and I just totally bulldozed over that. But let's talk about that, this Bon Iver track, if you want to, and then we can listen to that.
I was actually thinking if we could skip that. One just keep going
with
a navel gaze and continue to play. Yeah, the next song that is ours on the list, the Stay in Front of the Mirror.
I'd rather hear your tunes.
Aw, thanks. You heard it here first. We're more listenable than Bon Iver. Come after us.
Yep.
That's you bearded fool.
From the word of DJ Barbarella says it. Okay, yeah, let's hear about this song and then hear it.
Yeah, it is legitimately like a sort of, it's like a hemming and hawing before leaving the house, kind of this urge to perfect yourself before going outside and kind of worrying that you're like too afraid to leave, but you're also worrying, like people talk a lot about like rotting at home.
Bed rotting
or couch rotting or whatever, which like I rest in whatever way you feel good about. And I have definitely done that, but I definitely worry like, this is a very like 30-year-old me song to be like, I'm now passing eras of my life having stayed in the house a lot.
I feel that.
And so I'm worried that like I will change even in my desire to stay the same and to stay in the house and to stay protected. I am missing things not only about the world outside, but about myself. Mm. And so like this song is about both being too afraid to leave, but worrying that you're decaying either way.
Yeah. Oh, man, I feel that. All right, everyone. X-ray listeners, stay in front of the mirror by Golem Pink here on X-ray.
Stay in front of the mirror. Practicing my neutral spine. The muscles tense, and then they relax. To remind me I'm alive.
I'm alive, I am alive. I'm alive, I am alive. I'm alive, I am alive. I'm alive, I am alive.
Practicing my new
girl.
Cast the bell, spin the
That was super cool. Welcome back, X-Ray listeners. You're listening to Flying Saucer Safari. I'm here in house with Golem Pink. What's up?
That's us. We're Golem Pink.
We're Golem Pink.
We've been here the whole time.
The whole hour.
Oh my gosh.
Just goes by so fast. Time flies. Yeah.
Is it just the 1 hour?
I know, it's just 1 hour. Yep. So that last track, that Carolyn Shaw track, tell me about it, Joy. You said that was like a big influence for you.
Yeah, Carolyn Shaw, Helen, are my table twin, and I actually met in choir, and one of the first pieces that we sang together was a Carolyn Shaw piece. Carolyn Shaw does these really cool experimental choral pieces, and then did this whole album as a collaboration with So Percussion, and it kicks a lot of ass. Can I say that on the radio?
we can now.
Sorry.
I don't know. I feel like FCC is not super clear.
it's a donkey.
It kicks booty.
Yeah.
And
darn tootin'.
You betcha.
It definitely, she has been a huge inspiration for some of my more like experimental vocal stylings, and then the really, really cool, wacky sax solo in there is something that I very frequently will be like, or you could play it a little like this.
I feel like we've shown Adrian that song that solo, like, every time. And like this?
Like this.
I feel like the solo in Good Morning has that energy to it.
Yeah, and I definitely used like some specific tonal things to try to bring some of that like driving funky, thumpy sax sound to it.
Yeah.
Really mess it up.
Yeah.
Break it.
Mess
it
up.
It again.
That's what we do here. We break things and then we fix them again.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's so much what collaging is. I had an art class once that we had to do that. We had to like make prints, tear them up, rip them up to collage with them. And it was about like, you know, making your work not so precious and seeing it. And I feel like that's so much of you never know what you can create unless, you know, you've got to break a few eggs, as they say, to like make an omelet, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of our songs, like I don't know if we were talking about this before we started. I think we'd mentioned this a little bit. Like a lot of them start with just me, and or in the past they have started with just me and an acoustic guitar, like very, very different than what you end up hearing in the final product. And a lot of it is like, this isn't entirely true, but the sort of half joking answer is I barely care about the first song. I barely care about the starting point, because it's so much more interesting to me that if you have a good enough seed, it's so much more interesting to grow the tree than it is to like make this beautiful seed. And so, yeah, I think that like ripping it up and seeing what you can make from that is way more compelling to me than just trying to write something that is like crafted from the ground up. I also don't think that songs work that way. You see a lot of bands, other bands that focus more on a live sound. Almost all of those bands will start performing songs live before they are quote unquote finished. And so they're kind of doing that same process, but they're doing it live in front of an audience. I'm just so much more of a coward than that. And I refuse to let anyone see me do that. So I just do it at home with myself.
I have heard that often, actually, of people on the show where they will like trial songs. That's not part of y'all's process. Like, you really feel like before you present something, you're like so 100 about it, and it's gonna be.
I think it's a mixed bag. I think a lot of our early songs were just by the nature of like we hadn't recorded yet. We're kind of like that. There's a song on the album that we don't have on the playlist today called Soft Teeth that was like bad before we settled on the version that we like literally decided in the out. We had played it a bunch live. It had never really gone over the way I had hoped it would. And then in the recording process, we were like, hey, this song has never gone over the way we hoped it would. Can we like reimagine it again and reimagine it in a significant way? What does that look like? And it turned into the kind of dancier song that it turned into. And so there is these elements of, like, we do try some stuff live, but, like, Good Morning, for example, was, like, fully written and quote-unquote completed.
Yeah.
I'm sure there will be things that we change and that I want to change as we go forward. But it was pretty much complete before anybody heard it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that also our, like, band process, like, from where we began to where we are now has definitely been a process of trial and error and reiterating. My dad came to one of our first shows, and he was like, "I am really glad you're having fun." I think he also said, "I don't have to like everything that you do." And then he came to one of our shows like a year later, and he turned to a friend of mine and he said, "Oh, I get it now. Like, are they like better now, or do I just suddenly like understand it?" And I think it's a combination of both.
Yeah, a little dialed in, a little. Yeah.
And when we first started, like, it was me on the synth, no drum machine, and M on the guitar and singing
on the acoustic guitar.
So our process of the band itself has definitely been an evolution.
Yeah.
And then once we recorded those songs, that really solidified a lot of it. But even now, like, as we play the songs live, they do change a little bit every time, and little pieces get added as we experiment. And so I think the whole thing is a slow evolution. We do tend to hit, like, a more solidified point once the song is recorded, especially because the, like, heart of the band is the drum machine, and that comes directly from our recorded tracks.
Yeah, so it's Rolanda. We used to call it Rolanda because it used to be a Roland drum machine, but now it's something different. But she doesn't like to change. she will play the exact same tempo and the exact same thing over and over again. She's a little bit
reliable.
More, yeah, she's reliable, but she's also kind of stubborn in the sense that you have to, like, you know, reach into
her
guts.
She's a Taurus, okay?
Yeah, exactly. solid.
So I'm really curious with adding, like, new members and with this new collaborative process, what's that like with then playing out those songs, of the older songs now, with, like, all these new members and, like, kind of reimagining, like, are you then with all these new people reimagining those or trying to, like, just tell me about that process.
Yeah, I think that our live performances of the songs have really got a little life of their own. They are definitely different from the recorded versions, and in some cases, like, I think even more fun. Like, it's such a different process to be doing the things live. We have Helen, my table twin, and we'll do all these, like, little dances, and on the album I have all these layered harmonies, and so impossible for me to do alone, and it's really cool to have a second choir nerd on board to, like, really build out these strange harmonic textures. And then Adrian on the sax is a totally different sax player than we have on the album, and plays in a different style, and is so fun to work with, and just plays very, very different than our old saxophone player. And so it's just really fun to have that new element.
There's some songs that straight up don't have saxophone on them in the original context that do now and stuff like that.
Every song's better with saxophone.
Every song is better. So there's some songs that are, like, a little bit different, and there is at least one song that is, like, way different. How to Boil a Frog is completely different than it is live. There is one song which I think we have time for our last little moment here, because
it is kind of goes by so fast.
It is kind of a longer song. this song we don't play live yet, and the reason is the guitar part is too hard for me to sing over. I'm practicing it a lot.
It's hard to play and sing at the same time. Yeah.
But it took me a long time to record this with them separate. So yeah. We're all learning in real time. This is like, it's collage, it's a mess, and I think it's this beautiful mess, and I think that extends throughout the entire band, that it is like a learning process, both to make the songs and to be in the band and to continue to evolve and to continue to make music and to continue to be in groups and communities.
I love it. Well, thank you two so much for coming back on to X-Ray again. You're always welcome back in here. And folks, again, follow these two and plus everyone else in the band, yes. Golem Pink online. See their show in November. And we'll play out this last song. Which one are you playing? Exit or
Exit?
Exit. Okay. Oh, that's the meant to be.
Yes. Well, it's also the last song on the album too. Yes. So.
Kismet. All right. Well, thank you too so much again.
Couple of days, then go completely dark.